Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just the usual disclaimer before we start. In no way is this podcast taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something I live with and take very seriously. But I do think there's value in humour. I always have. It's like therapy to me. So shall we pretend that we're not recording on the same day and it's entirely new week?
This is definitely a new week. Yeah. And we definitely didn't just finish recording the last one a few minutes ago.
Because it makes more sense to do a few in a row. We would never do that.
No, never.
How was your week? I'm doing that thing, but you can't say it, like, two quotation marks.
My week has been great. Well, I mean, I'm currently drinking 9% beer, so I'm in a great mood, frankly.
And eating double choc crunch creams.
Yes.
Sponsored.
Sponsored by Foxes.
Sorry, made by Foxes. I'm all right since we recorded the last one 7 minutes ago, I think. Although we were just talking about theme tunes, which made me laugh. Like, would you want your own theme tune?
Yeah, we were saying, would you want to, every time you walk into a room, would you want to have your own theme tune? My gut feeling was yes, but then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, that'd be awful because it brings so much attention to you.
In official events, I would love that because the worst part for me is you go somewhere and you're like, oh my God. Everybody seems to know each other. How do I break in and be like, hi, So if I could walk in like, da 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 da, Claire! And I'm like, yes! If you need me, I'll be at the bar. That would be great.
What song would you have if you had to have a theme, like a theme tune?
I don't know. I'd really have to think about that because it says something about me as a person.
Yeah, and then you'd be stuck with it, wouldn't you? So you'd have to choose well.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe just the sound of me screaming or something like that. That actually leads me straight onto this week's topic, which is control. And it is a word that genuinely makes me cringe because I have quite an unhealthy relationship with it. I'm getting there, but I like to be in control of myself and situation and what's going on. Because, I don't know, I feel like if I can... Nothing will go wrong, you know, if I'm like, I've planned this, I've rehearsed this, I've done that, I've sorted that, this is coming, it's all gonna be fine. And then, at the other end of the spectrum, I do it too much, and then I just can't bear it anymore, and let go of the reins, and do something really spontaneous or self-destructive, like jump in the fountains at Trafalgar Square, which I really did.
Did you regret that, or was it good?
Massively. Do you know when you think, oh, this is gonna be so rock and roll? I didn't think, to be fair, I was like, oh, I just jumped in. The police came out of nowhere. I'm not joking, like 7 seconds. I was like, you've been waiting for this, haven't you? Like, finally, I've got something to do. But, and I ruined my favourite pair of boots.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like, it wasn't your cleverest idea, was it, really?
Do you know, like in the films when they do it, and there's like music playing, it's like, oh, this is great. And they don't actually show the commute home when you're on the tube, piss wet through. Like, well, that wasn't clever, was it?
I'll be escorted to the police station afterwards.
God, let's just go home and have crumpets and a cup of tea. That's good. But if you live with anxiety or panic, then control, or rather losing it, is a real fear. Kind of, oh my God, I'm worried that I'm going to lose control of myself, act really weird, and ruin my life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, when you sent me some stuff to read, as ever, and what it reminded me of was people who, you know, like serial dieters.
Yeah.
I bet you're wondering where I'm going with this. Yeah, I can see it on your face. You're like...
Alarm bell.
No, it's a kind of a thing of... Because they set everything up in advance. So you know, you're dieting, so you know that you've got your plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to eat this a certain way, this day, you're going to eat this, etc.
Eat this a certain way?
You know what? Look. I told you, I'm drinking 9% beer. I'm not going to get every word right here.
You can lose weight if you eat pasta like this. Just shove it up your nose, mate. Go on.
So almost like that thing of, you know, once they eat something they shouldn't do or that wasn't part of the plan, then all goes out of the window.
Yeah, like the binge thing.
Because you kind of over-planned in advance. It's kind of like then once you kind of, almost like you fail.
Yeah.
Then... the whole thing falls apart.
That is very true, 100%. If I don't achieve something, which is very rare.
No. Well, of course.
No, I do. I just go batshit. I'm like, right, well, fuck it then.
Yeah, and jump in a fountain.
Yeah. God. Good story, though.
It's a cool story, though.
Until I actually explain the story, and it's like, oh, no.
Yeah, that you went home for tea and crumpets.
Love crumpets. Although, I've actually gotten into pikelets because of Carl Pilkington.
Into what?
It's a thin crumpet.
Oh, I've not heard about this.
It's, I was listening to the XFM Vaults, you know, like in the early days.
And yeah.
He was like, I prefer a pikelet because a crumpet could be very doughy. And I'm like, I'll try them. And he's not wrong.
Right. Well, I'm a fan of a crumpet as well.
Open to sponsorship crumpets.
Yeah, Warburtons, those big ones they do. Yeah, so
I don't like the Warburtons ones. I like the really shit 60p ones. Like, how weird is that?
Yeah, that is weird. I'm not with you there, to be honest.
I really like them. It's probably because
Warbies are nothing for me.
God. So
slightly off topic.
Yeah, it can be a real problem for me when I'm going through a period of having lots of panic attacks. I'll be like, I'm so afraid that there's something abnormal with me that it's only a matter of time before it bursts through my head, I do something stupid, and lose everything.
Yeah.
And actually, a friend of mine can't go to petrol stations because she's afraid that she'll somehow cause a spark and it'll explode.
Right, okay.
And she's not learned to drive for that reason.
Wow.
But I was listening to her and we laugh because it's how we take the sting out of situations. And yeah. It's a genuine control thing. Like, if I see a petrol station on the street, I have to go on an alternate route because I'm so convinced that I will somehow cause a spark.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that happen often?
I imagine not, no. Yeah. But I'm with her there. It's like my fear that I'm somehow just going to strip naked. I don't know why. Run around the room screaming like that's going to happen. I've never done it.
No. I've never been there when you've done it. Anyways,
if I did, I know you'd be like, oh, for God's sake, put the kettle on, like, sit down.
Yeah, I'll just get you a glass of wine.
So, on that note, though, with weird stuff that you know the brain comes up with, a friend of mine, also different friend, I have a lot of eccentric friends. Actually, no, I'm against that. They're not eccentric. They're just very honest about what goes on in their head.
Maybe you just have a lot of friends and some of them will then happen to be eccentric.
She watched The Ring and then, she's quite rich. Anyway, she watched The Ring and then could not be in her house with the TV. So went and stayed in a hotel for 3 nights and insisted they remove the TV from the room.
When you said it, she's quite rich, I wondered why that was a relevant detail, but I take it
She's quite rich. I only mix with rich people.
Yeah, no, the hotel thing.
Who can do that?
Yeah.
You know, when you think, oh, I'm going to stay in a hotel, you look at the price. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Look at the price without a window. I'm still up. But she did that, like, you went and stayed in, and it was like I think it was the Savoy.
Oh, was it?
I know.
Very nice.
The Savoy for 3 nights. Take the TV out, because Samara might get me. No questions asked. Anyway, the next thing in my notes here says, ask Chris about his reading, but you've actually already gone into it.
Yes, beat you to that one.
I think, you know, to go at it from another angle, the very concept of control makes people who experience panic attacks feel weak and ashamed. It's a bit of what we kind of spoke about at the end of last week's podcast. You know, it's our brain, after all. Shouldn't we be able to control it? We should be able to control it. It belongs to us. We control our brains. Which is bullshit, by the way, in my opinion. You know, if we could control our brains, then affairs wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't eat a whole packet of biscuits instead of having just the one, you know? I think the mind over matter is a very positive ideal, but it's exactly that, in my opinion. It's an ideal. It only goes so far. It tends to have a limit. Like, it's great in exercise, but, you know, you're not doing that every day. It's like, mind over matter. It's not, I don't think it's achievable.
Yeah, and I think the thought that you know, you can't control your own brain can only make anyone feel better about themselves, you know, because that you kind of
feel better.
Because if you think about, you're saying that you beat yourself up about things, it's kind of like letting go. It's, you know, it's accepting, yeah, actually, I can't control it, so I'm not going to try.
It that way, actually. It's true.
It actually gives me some comfort, in a way.
I go the other way. Like, oh, you really should be able to, you know, get a handle on this. just stop yourself, just say no.
Yeah.
Although I have an interesting theory about this. I'm like, I think people already know what they're going to do before they do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think people sometimes play to the, you know.
I mean, I've been in this situation a few times in my life when you know you shouldn't text somebody.
Mm.
And you do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know you shouldn't send that email. You know you shouldn't have that second glass of wine. Rationally, 100% you know, but you do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I knew I shouldn't have the second 9% alcohol. See, it's going to shit, this now.
I like Chris on 9%.
I'll try again. I knew I shouldn't have had this second 9% beer, but I still did it.
Go on. I'm going to listen to it back and think, God, I thought we sounded really eloquent.
And yeah.
Like, it's like when you're drunk and you start philosophizing, like, why don't we just look after each other? Blah, 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 blah. Oh,
it's about love, man.
It is. I think at this current moment we need a new Jesus, and I stand by that.
Well, I'm willing to step up to the mark.
Somebody turns up and says, couldn't you just be nice to each other and pay your taxes? That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah. Or just a Labour government. Not to bring sweep politics
that
in.
Under the But you were talking about Derren Brown earlier.
Yes.
And I jumped all over that because, of course, there are certain things you can't control, so.
Yeah, he's not just a
magician.
A magician. I was going to say mentalist, but.
Do you know what it used to be called that?
No, I think it still is, but.
In the Victorian era, no.
When you're doing a mental health podcast, it sounds a bit out of place.
Also makes me think of Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
He's a mentalist.
Yeah. Yeah, I would recommend Happiness by Derren Brown.
Okay.
As a bit of light reading into the subject. Yeah, it's really interesting. I can't remember a thing of what I said about it now. Why weren't you recording before?
No, fortunately I do. You said the things that you can't control in life, you really should just let go of.
That's it, yeah. It's the idea. Yeah, the idea is that you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
So what is the point in worrying about anything else? His theory, well, it's, you know, his theory is you can just let it go. It's acceptable to just say to yourself, I can't control it, so it doesn't matter. Just leave it.
A very good mantra.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to worry about dying a lot. And it's true, like, you can't control any of that. So let's take that off the worry list.
Yeah.
Worry about something else. Like, you're allowed to worry, but not that.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier in theory to say that to yourself, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to control what your brain is thinking about, especially when it's 3 a.m. and you can't get to sleep. But yeah, I think it's a good mantra to have.
I also, when you say Derren Brown, it just makes me think of that when we used to live together at uni and you came downstairs and said, was that a dream or was Derren Brown in my room last night? Like, am I going to be on Trick or Treat?
Yeah, I still don't know whether I was part of one of his shows. I mean, I've never been on TV, so I imagine not. But yeah, I had a dream that he, because anyone who knows Derren Brown, there's a series where he goes and wakes people up in the night and gets them to sign a contract, which seems, I think they have signed up in advance, kind of, you know, they've put the name forward.
Sounds ideal.
But yeah, so I had a dream that he did that. He came into my room and like got me to sign the disclaimer.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I could be part of a very long-term experiment he's got going on.
Absolutely.
Could still be happening.
We both could. Oh, I think, yeah, he's obviously a very, very clever man, and I wish I could look at the world that way, you know, like, take a step back and think, oh, yeah, I can't control that. Let's focus our energy on this instead, rather than...
And that's what I was saying. It's a lot easier to say that than to do it.
Yeah, to actually do it.
Yeah.
Well, this leads me nicely onto Claire's story of the week. Just wait for him to finish his beer before he...
Sorry.
Goes.
Sorry.
Again. Claire's panic story of the week.
You looked at me then, we were like, why are you not saying anything?
Don't just nod at me. Like, yeah. One more time. Claire's panic story of the week.
Claire's panic story of the week. Sponsored by Double Choc Crunch Creams.
And 9% beer. Okay. This one is very much related to control because a couple of years ago, I was in a restaurant with Dan and some of his friends. And your phone's ringing.
My phone's ringing.
If it's Beck, answer it. It should be live on the podcast. Is.
Hello, Beck. You're currently on the podcast. This is actually being recorded.
Excellent work. Are you all right?
That was a treat this week.
That's an insight into my life.
I'll just stir. Probably. Okay. Turn that on again. So, a couple of years ago, I was in a restaurant with Dan and his friends. And restaurants are places of leisure. Sure, cool, no problem. But I also think they're places that demand a certain code of behaviour, obviously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't mean in terms of, oh, I just rock up naked, like a sledge. I mean, more that you do just behave a certain way when you're in a restaurant. It's more formal. Like.
Yeah, please turn up like that next time you go for a meal.
There's a system, you know, we sit facing one another, we stay in our seats. It's not as if you can just walk around and, you know, you have polite conversation. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff like that can be triggering for me because somebody who thinks they're about to lose control all the time, like what if I do something weird? Anything that demands formal behaviour is always like a bit of a trigger.
Yeah.
And I knew the attack was coming as soon as I entered. I was like walking to my seat, completely humming with adrenaline. I was like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's like being showed the knife or showed the open cell, like off you go, just walk towards it. And I just wanted to leg it out of there, which is my usual response, flight. So I sat down, straight away went to the toilet. So that's always a bit of like, okay.
Can I just clarify that? You didn't sit down and go to the toilet. You sat down, then stood up and went to the toilet.
I literally sat down and went to the toilet. So like, now we've broken the
ice. That's the end of the story.
God. No. No, I got up and went to the lavatory just to go because it's always cool in there. It's always like just to calm, you know, get yourself together a little bit.
Yeah.
But how many times can you actually do that in a meal without somebody think you've either got the shits or you've got a coke habit?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's part of the code of conduct is that you don't go to the toilet 20 times.
Oh, God. But one of Dan's friends in particular, who's lovely, he's well-meaning, but he's very intense.
Mm.
And he kept almost barking questions at me.
Yeah.
Because he was interested and I kind of just wanted to sit there and settle in, but he just wouldn't let me. And when there's like six of you and someone's directs a question at you, everybody looks.
Yeah.
It's massively triggering. All I could think was that when the waiter or waitress comes over, I'm not going to be able to speak. I'm randomly going to tell them to, like, go. I'm sorry. It's always very vulgar, because this is what happens. It's like Tourette's. The worst stuff comes out. I remember thinking, I'm going to tell the waiter to go fuck a duck.
I probably shouldn't laugh.
Stuff comes into you. It's always like, how crazy can I actually be? And something like that. Like,
if you went to the toilet while you were sat at your seat, that'd be pretty bad.
Oh, God. And then I was thinking, I won't be able to eat my food. My throat's going to close up. I won't be able to eat it. And if you don't eat your food, people start asking questions.
Yeah.
And then more attention's drawn to you. And this, it was like a complete cycle of attack after attack after attack, thinking about ducks and the toilet and trying to answer questions about, so how are you feeling? Oh, I'm great.
Mm.
How are you? Yeah, how's work? Oh. It's one of those where if you're with people, actually, let me clarify. I'm sure if I would have said to that table of people, I'm sorry, I don't feel right, I have this condition, is it okay if I just be quiet for a minute? They would have been fine.
Yeah.
But you don't, you keep it all in.
Yeah. I think it's something from what you've said to me in the past, you kind of learnt it as you've become more experienced and, you know, got older. You probably would say it now.
Oh, with my mates, I would.
Yeah.
I'm like, seriously, I'm thinking about ducks and I can't breathe, I can't swallow, and can we just do something weird, like sit facing the other way, like, yeah. Whatever you need, you know, for 5 minutes to settle in, I think that's important.
Yeah.
But then there's always that fear, as much as I live with my condition and manage it that I do, it's part of you still doesn't want to tell somebody. You know, you don't know intimately about it, because there's always that fear that they're going to give you the look.
Yeah.
Or you're back to square one if there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. I can imagine.
You can't hold it together.
Yeah.
So you don't.
In that scenario, by the way, it's struck me that something you've said in that, I think in a previous podcast actually, about you liking to arrive somewhere first probably didn't help, did it?
Yes.
Like if you would have been there already.
Oh my God, you do pay attention.
I do listen,
to me.
Yeah.
That stuff they say about men isn't true.
Most of it's true.
No, that is 100% accurate. About 15 minutes before I like to get there. Because I don't like people watching me arrive.
Yeah.
Not that anyone gives a shit, you know, like, oh, who's going to, you know, but I like to get there. I like to acclimatise myself to my surroundings. Mm. I like to know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
It's in the same way, and this has happened with your wife at some point, where, you know, you're out and about and you see someone you're not expecting to see.
Mm.
You would probably say, oh, hello, how are you? I'd hide. Because you're not supposed to be here.
Did you not want to pretend that you weren't who you are?
Oh, yeah. 100%. One of my ex's friends, we passed each other in the street and he said, Claire Easton. And I went, no. Because technically I'm not married. So it wasn't a lie. That's not, my married name is different from my business name. I'm like a Kardashian in that sense.
Mm. Yeah. It's so cool.
No. Oh my God, let's not go talk about the Kardashians. But anyway, I did do that because I can't cope. Like, in my reality, you're not supposed to be here.
Mm.
I think your wife has actually chased me around. It might have been B&Q. I can't remember. Was that Claire? I can't remember. We're like, come back. And I'm like, no, you're supposed to be here.
Yeah, I remember we briefly worked together, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And it was a kind of, obviously we knew that each of us was going to be there, you know, each day. But if I ever saw you in a scenario where you weren't quite expecting me, you were always a bit like, oh, this is weird.
I mean, in fairness, so were you.
No, I was.
That was quite funny because I was like, are either of us going to ask a question? It was quite nice though because it was just silence of whatever, yeah.
Mm.
I'll see you later. For a Boots meal deal on a Friday.
Oh, yes.
God. You used to try and get the most expensive thing.
I still do it now.
Still doing it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's all about looking at that receipt afterwards and saying, you know, you've had 3 quid knocked off. It gives you a sense of real achievement.
When I think back about a lot of stuff in my life, it always links back to control. You know, in my first relationship, because when I was 18. So you never behave normally anyway. You don't know what's going on. It's all new. Mm. Like, if I can be the most perfect version of myself, always look perfect. Like, I don't think he ever saw me without my makeup on.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would catch myself actually posing in a certain way.
Right.
And, like, I can't see you in this situation. You can only see this version of myself.
Yeah.
And you can't keep something like that.
No, that's not sustainable, is it?
Nobody told me. But this is absolutely sustainable. I will achieve this or I'll jump in a fountain.
To be fair, I probably told you.
You probably did. Like, you do realise this is a bad idea. Shut up, Chris. Drink your 9% beer and...
Shut up, flatline.
But yeah, I actually got through that attack in the end by using a technique that I talked about in episode 2, I think. Rather than trying to fight it off and trying to act normal, in the end, I just accepted that it was happening.
Yeah.
And let it crash over me, like, you're having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Dan about it, my husband, then boyfriend, and just let it happen, let it wash over me, and then it went. It's the fastest way to cut panic attack's lifespan in half is to accept it.
Yeah, just let it happen.
Otherwise it's going to keep coming.
Mm.
And then think, oh, it's the fuck it attitude, like, oh, let's just see what I do.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, when you've kind of compared it with hell before, you know.
Yeah.
Once you've reached that point, why not try something?
Yeah, you just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But I got through that one just dandy, I think. And I always learn something. That's the strange thing about it. Like, the more I have them, the more I learn. Which leads me on to my tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
You'll get that, clicking music deal at one point.
I'm thinking, yeah. Yeah, it's in the making.
Britain's Got Talent. You can click.
That's what, you know, that's what I've always imagined. That's where it would start.
It makes me think of, like, you know, ASMR? Have you heard of that?
No. Oh, I think I have actually.
I think Beck, your wife, was talking about
Yes,
it.
She was.
I'm saying your wife hates the benefit it. Of the listeners,
yeah.
Not you.
Yeah, we don't just talk to each other like this normally at the pub.
You know your wife? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she hates it.
Yeah, it's See, I quite like it, but that makes sense with her and also with me, because I...
Should we explain what it is to...
Absolutely. I'm just going to slow this down while I clearly Google what it is, if you know what it is.
I mean, I know the basics. It's essentially nice noise, or noise that sounds that people find soothing, or... But they're out of the ordinary, aren't they? It's like...
Oh, no, you're absolutely right, yeah.
It's...
Oh, it can also be scalp. Oh, no, it's not. It's just talking about movement in the body, you know me. It's got...
It would help if we knew what the fuck we were talking about, wouldn't it, really?
Oh, God. No. Yeah, it is that soothing sound.
Yeah.
Some people found it a bit pornographic or sexual. I definitely don't. But there is one I really like where the woman basically tucks you in at night.
Right. Like, you said that's so creepy. And just to confirm, she did say tucks you in and not touches you, which it sounded quite similar.
I don't even know where I started with this. Oh, clicking. Like, yeah. ASMR. Right.
It was a detour from a detour.
A detour.
Maybe we just go back to the topic.
Go back to the topic, which is tip of the week.
Tip of the week.
I'm going to talk about belly breathing, which might sound simple, because in many ways it is. We don't breathe in a correct way a lot of the time, particularly if you have panic or anxiety. We do what's called shallow breathing from our chests because it's faster.
Yeah.
And you don't even know you're doing it. It just happens. Now, if you breathe all the way down to your belly, you get around about double the amount of oxygen.
All right.
And when you're panicking, you don't get enough. You know, you don't breathe correctly.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of triggers symptoms like dizziness or seeing stars or, in some respects, like the balance issue. All this kind of stuff is actually triggered by shallow breathing, not the attack itself.
Right.
Because you're breathing too much. You're not getting enough oxygen, all this kind of stuff. It's like a huge, perfect storm. So belly breathing, and it's going to be difficult to do this on a podcast because I like to show people, but I think I can do it. If not, you can go onto my YouTube channel. Just Google my name, Claire Easton. I should know the actual bloody link. I'll put it in the description. That shows you how to do it visually. Right. Did you know the most important thing about breathing is to exhale properly first before you start?
I've never thought about it, to be honest.
But you are now, though.
And now I can't breathe properly at all.
Do you know that's why I can't do mindfulness? I can't do headspace because the bloke's like... focus on this, and you can only breathe in the way that he does, and all I can think is, my lungs hurt, I can't breathe.
Yeah, well, breathing's supposed to be automatic, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, when you think about it, it does make it weirdly hard to breathe.
Yeah. So, what we're going to do, we want to exhale, because when you exhale, it loosens up everything in the body, it opens it up, so you want to blow out as hard as you can. So, I'm going to get Chris to do it, but not yet, because you'll turn blue. Do that. And then, as soon as you exhale, you breathe in with your nose, but while you're doing it, push your belly out, your stomach out, as far as you can go. And then we're going to hold it, and then you're going to breathe out through your mouth and suck your belly back in. Are you ready?
No.
Just watch me. To be honest, no one will know if you mess it up.
Yeah, true. Say I've done it perfectly.
So when I say go, I want you and the listener... to breathe, sorry, sigh, like you've just been told off for something that wasn't your fault. Breathe in through your nose, push your belly out. Hold it. And out through your mouth. And again, in your nose, push your belly out. Really push it out. And out through your mouth. It feels so weird. If you're not used to doing it, because it's not natural.
It felt quite good, though.
Good!
It really did.
Thank God! I feel worse, terrible. Like,
no, it did.
But it's doubling the oxygen in your body, and it's going to cut everything in half, and it's just, your body needs it.
Mm.
We don't give it enough oxygen because we're too busy to breathe. Literally. Babies do it all the time. You see babies belly breathing.
Yeah, I suppose you do. I'm going to start breathing like that in my day-to-day life.
You should. Even if you don't have any kind of mental health disorder, you should practice doing that a couple times a week, just so it's in the bag if you need it, you know, you're stressed.
Mm.
It'll just help take the edge off.
Yeah.
I think that rounds us nicely off. Is that a saying?
No.
Rounds us off. That's not right,
it doesn't sound quite right, that, does it?
I think we've come to the end. Oh my God, I know I'm recording, it's fine. Oh God, it's fine, I'm recording. I thought I hadn't recorded it.
It's flashing, don't worry.
We're fine. Okay.
I always check to make sure that it's flashing.
All right, well, thank you for listening. Please do subscribe if you like it. Yeah, I've got everything in the description that you need. I think that's about it.
You're supposed to shout something, aren't you? Like, subscribe.
Alright. Subscribe.
I just did. Subscribe.
Just subscribe. It's easy.
Just do it, man. Why are you not doing it?
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
What a peculiar place to have a party.